Welcome to Intuitive Art Sales. This is the show where I, Jessica Craddock, am going to teach you how to source your art marketing from within. You're going to practice claiming that authentic art business that you want and leading it to the most natural way for you to get there. You're going to learn to get connected to your intuition, your confidence, and your community so that you can sell your art consistently while holding strong boundaries on your work-life balance. Welcome back to Intuitive Art Sales. Today I'm here with Maura, and funny little tidbit here. We recorded this 2 days ago and somehow I didn't hit record. So we're back again.
We had a delightful time.
We had a delightful time and a delightful conversation, but I felt like I needed to pre-reference that because I feel like inevitably somehow we're going to end up addressing the things we talked about last time. So I will try to contextualize at certain points. So with that being said, Maura, you just mentioned that you felt like you had a pretty good plan, but today you wanted to, actually you say it again. You're going to say it better than me.
So our conversation on Tuesday, it was delightful, but I feel like I was kind of all over the place, which absolutely goes with the fact that I have ADHD. So today, having that conversation in my backpack, I feel a little more prepared.
Great. That's exciting. And also, I didn't feel any more than any other conversation that I have that it was all over the place. So,
oh, good. So I loved your three questions that we are to contemplate before coming on the podcast.
Yeah.
So the first of the questions is, how would you introduce yourself and your art? So that I'm a pro at. My name is Maura Keeley Ogden. I am an artist. I am a collector of images, whatnots, gym cracks, you name it. I can paint you a painting that's fine art, but I'm diving into this new business, this new plan that I want to really go to town with my collage pieces. So with that, who am I? I'm kind of two things. And I'm wondering, how do I merge that and be still kind of a fine artist, but also have this new adventure in a new town that we just moved to? The other thing you asked was, how would you describe your business? Okay, so I don't know. You know, I have a virtual gallery and I have a darling desk in downtown Mooresville, a teeny tiny town in North Carolina. It is a provision shop. She only carries North Carolina merchandise. And I am the artist in residence. Sometimes I buy something from her shop, I paint on it, I sell it. Sometimes I work on a big painting. Afternoons, I might take my radio flyer wagon and I walk around town and sit and talk with different people and work on my art. So that's a lot, right?
Trying to make sure that if it is even a question, that I understand the question, which I think is, when we talked last, we really dove into the collage side of your business.
Correct.
And today you're saying, actually, wait, I don't want to leave the fine art behind. I want to do that too.
Correct.
Okay.
It's like I'm looking for a both and, not an either or.
Okay. So let's start with a question, which is, how do you define fine art?
Fine art to me is painting, drawing, sculpture, what have you, that has a point of view from the artist that has some value to be sold in a gallery. Mm-hmm. I think that's how I would describe it. Kind of okay. Old school.
Yeah. So tell me how that differs from the work that you were describing your excitement about last time. How is that not fine art, I guess is the question.
Oh, great question. Well, I'm not sure if someone who owns Shane Gallery in Charleston, or wherever they own, would want a sign that I bought at a shop that I then hand-painted, added fabric to, and created new art. Is there,
why?
Maybe I have a disconnect. You're right. Why? Maybe I shouldn't think that way.
Maybe Shane Gallery will not feel that they want it in their gallery, but another one would. Does that make it fine art?
Yes.
I'm not trying to say your other work has to be fine art too, but I'm trying to lead you to, is it actually? And you're just putting whatever preconceived notions around whatever art is on it so that you can't be a fine artist and this other thing. But what if this other thing is a fine artist?
That's cool to explore. Absolutely. Maybe I shouldn't consider what I'm doing in this new adventure less than.
Right. So I am a fan. My favorite art is modern art. Whenever I go to a new city, I always check and see if they have a modern art museum. Mm-hmm. A sign that had fabric and paint and was something different than you would see in a traditional museum is something that would belong in a modern art museum. In my mind, that belongs there.
Fascinating. You're right. Yeah.
If it belongs in a art museum, I call that fine art.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. Other people are going to have other opinions. But if you treat it like it is fine art, then other people are going to treat it like it's fine art. Not everyone, because everyone has their own opinions. But more people will.
I get that. So it's just a mind shift, really.
Yeah. This is going to get a little bit woo-woo here. But we create our own reality, right? Like, whatever we mm-hmm. say is true is what is true for us. The more we are grounded in it and that's the way we see it, that's how other people will be influenced to see it the same way. If we're always thinking, well, it's not fine art, other people are going to agree with you. Mm-hmm. So back to your introduction. I am this, and how do I also be this? How do you say it now? Assuming we believe this new belief to be true, how do you now introduce yourself? Mm.
So what if, darling Jessica, I say I'm an artist. I, in the past, have stuck with acrylic and oil painting, and I'm exploring new mediums.
Not super exciting. I'm being perfectly honest. We just found our direction for today. We are doing your elevator speech.
Love it.
So it starts with, I am a, this might be a hard word for you, normally painter, photographer, sculptor, whatever goes in here. What are you?
Mm-hmm. I'm a creative.
I'm a creative.
So in exploring different forms of artistic expression, I know that I want them to bring me joy and others joy. Does that work in an elevator?
It's getting closer. So, okay, we were going to do the formula, but we're going to back up here. And okay, we're going to address what you just said, because that's going to help us with the second part of the formula. So, Maura, you just gave me an answer, but say it again. Why do you create art?
I create art to bring myself joy and others joy. I create art, have an experience in the creating, and I like to share that with people.
I'm going to ask a different question, because I think this will help. Sometimes, why do you create art ends up being very broad and overarching, and we narrow it down from there. But I think this is going to be hard to narrow down. So instead of that question, I'm going to ask you, why do you create collages with found objects?
Collage to me begins with an intention, and that you're out and about, you're exploring the world, you find something, you then pick it up, bring it home, assemble, and in a way, you have a story before the art piece has even begun. Mm-hmm. Working on it, and then bringing in my skill set of perhaps a ripped piece of a drawing, or I'm not really a quote person, but maybe it's some fiber, fabric. To me, the assembling of it, it gives me great joy because it's an experience.
Okay. I think we're getting somewhere. So I just wrote down everything you said. You start with an intention. You explore the world. A story is formed. You assemble with your skill set, which brings you joy through the experience. I'm not going to go deeper on the joy part right now, because I believe that it gives you joy. I believe that it gives others joy. Okay. And most artists' art, not all, but most, they want to bring joy and it gives them joy. So what we're looking for is your uniqueness, your perspective is maybe a good word for it. So you said it starts with an intention and exploring the world. Why is that important?
That's a pretty big question.
It is.
There is so much of humanity in little traces, the world, nature, a city, park, an old building, a new building. I love finding the little thing that was left behind, or maybe a piece of a screw that got rusty that so perfectly can be missed, but I find it.
I love both of those things you just said. It's one thing, but I wrote it down as two. There's humanity in the traces. And also, I love finding the thing left behind that can be missed.
Yeah. There's always a story to be found.
Humanity in the traces. There's always a story to be found. I really like the phrase humanity in the traces, but I don't think standing alone that it makes sense as a standalone phrase. So let's keep going.
Okay.
Traces of what? The things left behind. You said that. how there's things left behind everywhere. How do you decide which traces have the most humanity, have the most stories to you?
Generally, something will spark a memory of my own. Often, it could be like just a gorgeous patina on a rusty whatever. And I find that when you see these remnants of people, these discarded things or forgotten things, they fit in so well into nature. Nature does magic on metal, on an old shoe, on recently I bought a meat hook. That's so crazy. But if you could see this, it is the most gorgeous, like turquoise, rust, sage green. The paint's peeling. It's so firm and sturdy. Like, I didn't find that in nature. I think that'd be a touch scary. I found it at a teak shop, but it was $8. And I want to do something magical with it, perhaps with other pieces that I found on a walk over the past couple of months.
So just to narrate, I am continuing to go deeper in the things you are saying, the things, because I'm doing it with you, the things that I find the most interesting about what you're saying.
At that.
But if you were doing this on your own, it would be the phrases that spoke to you the most. Mm-hmm. So why are the remnants, the discarded, the forgotten? Why those?
I think old is precious and beautiful. I think the discarded, oh my gosh, look at this thing that was left right here. It looks so perfect in this. And then my mind goes in such great, it goes on a great journey. So I wonder, who left it? Why'd they leave it? Why'd it fall out of their pocket? And I kind of take that mindset forward when I'm then at my desk and it's time to make my own thing from what I call a trinket and other people would call trash.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out the phrasing, but I'm putting your work together.
Okay.
Right now, something along the lines of the story of the humanity or the story and humanity, something not quite right, in the remnants are left behind. And I think that that covered why it inspires you. But I still want to take it a step or two further, because when I'm checking to see if it's a good elevator speech. And the elevator speech can also be your main message behind your art. They become more or less interchangeable. My check to make sure it's good is, can I apply this in other areas of my life that are not art? Does this help me make decisions in those other areas? Is this something that I want to put my flag down? And we're still really in the inspiration art kind of realm. I think we're getting there.
Yes.
Hey there, fellow artists and creative souls. This one's for you. If you're tired of the hustle, the endless marketing strategies that just don't feel like you, and the struggle to find the consistent income from your art, listen up. I want to introduce you to the Consistent Income for Artists program. It's not just another art marketing course. It is your personal roadmap to authentic sales and a more fulfilling creative life. Imagine finally getting paid what your art is worth while still having time to enjoy what you love most. Are you ready to stop playing small and start seeing tremendous growth without losing sight of your art's true essence? It's time to become a better artist, not just in your creations, but in your marketing too. And let me tell you, we've all been there, feeling the self-doubt creeping in, burning out, playing small. But here's the thing, it's not your fault. It is time for an upgrade. One of our artists, Laura, said, "I had a lot of self-doubt in my brain trying to talk me out of it, but I did all the things you said and it totally worked." It's not about passion versus money. It's about both. So join us and discover the secret to selling your art authentically, building confidence, connecting with your dream buyers, and creating a structured yet flexible marketing plan. I'm Jessica Craddock, and I have helped countless artists like you make 3 times more in their art sales within the first year. My consistent income program focuses on growing as a person just as much as the doing, so that you can actually get ahead of the game this time. This program is for you if you're ready to make your big vision a reality, connect with the right people, and build a community that fuels your creativity. It's time to trust yourself. Get out of your comfort zone and leave the world a little bit more beautiful with your art. Don't settle for mediocrity if you can have more. Sign up for consistent income today and let's redefine your artistic journey together. You've got this. I've got your back. If you want more information, you can either visit my website or check out the show notes from this podcast to learn more and take the first step towards artistic success. And if you're not quite ready to sign up now, send me an email at jessica@theartistmarket.co with any thoughts or questions you have, and we'll decide if it's right for you together. Talk soon. So, I think to go further, because we're kind of circling here instead of going deeper, I want to take art out of it. In your day-to-day life, what do you care about the stories behind things, the humanity in the small things, remnants being left behind? If you were leaving behind a legacy for your children of this is who Maura was, mm-hmm. What does any of that have to do with remnants, humanity, story?
I would so love for you to come and visit. It would require a plane ride. The painting behind me, which the viewers can't see, but it's there. I purchased this as a young girl working, and I didn't even have a couch. I bought a painting. This has traveled with me my entire life. My kids know the story. They know the story of the artist. I have kept communication with her. This painting, I literally at one point got tired of the fact that it had pink flowers. So I called her and said, "Would you care if I paint on my painting?" Just like, absolutely, send me a
picture. That's amazing.
So I use that as an example because I have a silver tray that has the anniversary date of my parents' 25th wedding anniversary. Like, I serve cheeseburgers on it. I don't really have a melamine tray. I don't have paper plates, but I'm not a freak about recycling. It's just more that what I use, what I touch, I love the story behind it. And I love telling the story.
So. Okay. So story is very important to you, obviously. You're serving cheeseburgers on this beautiful tray. You are carrying this painting around with you for years and telling the story of it. Why? Why does story matter? What's the point?
Golly. Okay. I think in my almost 57 years on this planet, I think I know why. I am adopted. I am in love with Miley. I am exactly where I'm supposed to be. I always have been. But the story of things is very important because there was never anybody that looked like me. There wasn't mannerisms that were handed down to me. In my family, my older brothers adopted, then me, then Molly, then my baby sister, Kiki. She just came along as the story so often goes. So I guess stories help me feel grounded and give me identity.
See, now we're getting somewhere. But just in case you're listening, you're trying to do this on your own. See how I'm doing this? I'm just asking why. What's the most interesting piece of what I just thought about? Why do I care about that? Why do I care about that? So we are now to stories make me feel grounded and give me identity. And I know this gets really annoying after a little bit. So sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
No.
What does identity matter? What? You care about the story because it gives you identity. But now, why does it matter that you have identity? Why can't you just go about your life and just live it and die and go on? It's an easy exercise, but it's not an easy exercise. Why does it matter?
Well, because I matter. And everyone I love matters. And people I meet or haven't met who left a button on the ground, they matter. Am I getting way too out there?
But let me do a check real quick. So you said identity matters because I matter and they matter. I said, why does it matter that you have identity? You said, because I matter and they matter. Yes, of course you matter. And?
Yeah.
How does your identity make you feel that you matter, help you feel? What is the question? I know what it is. I just don't know how to phrase it. Okay, we're down to they matter. Above that was identities. Above that was stories. So maybe if we take the word identity out of it and stories and they matter goes together pretty well. I was trying to figure out how having an identity relates to you mattering. Like you can matter without someone understanding your identity. Does your identity make you matter more?
Okay. Because of this windy, awesome staircase we're on that you're taking me. I identify as a storyteller,
story maker. Yeah.
Creator. The identity part, it's hard for me to navigate that because I am who I am because of who I know, love, care for. I mean, sure, I could exist on my own in a yurt in the forest, but that would not be who I am. Mm-hmm.
I am who I am because of who I love. I care about telling the story, and I am inserting my own words here. So let's just go round and round a little bit more.
I love it.
I am who I am because of who I love. And being able to tell their stories makes me feel connected to them. But also I care about the stories of people I don't know because people loved them and they had an identity. And I want to know more about them and who they are. You care about things not being forgotten. You care about making people feel special. You care about keeping legacies alive through stories.
Yes.
So I feel like it all comes back to everyone is important and everyone should be remembered. That's not very profound of a statement. Not a super unique thing to say. Right. And I said it, you didn't say it. But I feel like that's kind of what you are embodying in all these answers you're giving me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What if it's remembering humanity in the things that have been forgotten, in the remnants, in the discarded? You can pick the word you like there. But something along those lines.
I like it. A lot. A lot. Because I've kind of, in all of our talking and this adventure of me and my husband relocating from Chicago to the small town called Mooresville, I am literally living my dream with this amazing guy whose dream is we share it. And I am not exactly sure if the world needs me to purchase another canvas at Michael's and buy more paint and more brushes and paper towel. It's like the doors have flung open and it's the smallness that we said yes to that I'm so excited. And in talking, you've really given me profound things to think about. Because to create this, let's call it elevator speech or
Diddy works.
It isn't going to be very run of the mill. Like, I'm not saying I'm special, but.
But we're trying to verbalize the specialness that you most want to embody and bring to the world. I think we're getting close and we're at least 80% there. And I feel like 80% is generally good enough because as it marinates, it can tweak the 1%, 2% as you go.
I love it.
I'm not saying that to get out of trying to find the perfect answer here. I'm saying that because I believe that with all my heart, going to the 80% so that you can start taking action on it, so that you can find more clarity, is going to get you to the 100%. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to get there. So back to our elevator speech. We said, I am a creative. You also said, I am a storyteller. I am a story maker. I think one of those is more accurate. Which one do you think it is?
Teller.
So how about, I am an artist telling stories through a collection of discarded objects, traces, something. I tell stories through art. You can add collage art or something like that if you want there, but I think it could just be art.
Let's keep it simple.
I agree.
Let's say
you don't have to describe what it looks like. You have to catch people's attention and make them connect with it before they've even seen it. And then they can say, oh, tell me more. What does it look like? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. I tell stories through art using, I go back to the traces of humanity.
Love it.
I find
it's kind of high. It's kind of
it's
highbrow.
A little highbrow, but it can become lower brow as you say it more and more.
I mean, I'm a giggler.
Okay, hold on. Let's highbrow it, and then we'll see if we can make it more giggly. I tell stories through art using the traces of humanity. I find. So they aren't forgotten. So people aren't forgotten. So
yes,
people aren't forgotten. That one.
Yes.
And I'm not even going to add, because this is a rough draft. This is very long. It's too long. Yep. But we're trying to get to the 80%. I tell stories through art using the traces of humanity I find, so people aren't forgotten because they matter. So how can we shorten that?
I love it. Why don't we just make it into three short sentences? instead of one huge one?
We could do that. I would rather, if I get to pick, I want you to have one easily understandable thing you can say that rolls off your tongue and makes people say, tell me more.
Oh.
And then you go forth and tell the whole page of things that I wrote down. But we just want one.
Was walking through the forest.
As I was walking through the forest, I found a meat hook. Okay. I tell forgotten stories through art so people aren't forgotten because they matter. I tell forgotten stories through art because they matter.
Because people matter and their stories matter.
Because people and their stories matter. Last time. I tell forgotten stories through art because people and their stories matter. But that's short and sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as highbrow.
Yep.
Easy to understand.
I love it.
Great. That, my friend, is what is at the core of your art. It's at the core of who you are as a person, of the things you surround yourself with, of the actions that you take. This, you're telling stories because they matter and you don't want people to forget them.
Right on.
That's your brand. Also, coming back to the very beginning of this conversation where we were talking about, well, fine art versus this, when it has that message behind it, it can't not be fine art, in my opinion. And if you did go create quote-unquote fine art that you were describing at the beginning of this recording, I don't think it would be as true to you unless it became some version of what you were doing on found objects.
You have literally figured out the disconnect. It's been like a dichotomy almost until me and Bill landed here in this beautiful little town. And I'm like, oh, this feels like home. I miss my people. But there are so many people to meet and so much to explore.
And stories to be found.
Thank you. Yeah. Little traces.
I feel like you need to go make some art now.
Everywhere. I do.
Okay.
I just walked around downtown Mooresville with the painting and put it in, put it up windows, took pictures. I met three dogs. I met a darling woman who's an author. She gave me a book. I mean, you can't beat it.
I have moved to a small town myself, and I'm like, this is my claim. Even though I love big cities, but I want to visit them, not live in them. This is just a random inspiration idea I'm going to throw at you, and you can take it or leave it or store it for later. If you could find people who are expert on the objects that you are drawn to and have them tell the story. I mean, it's they don't know the story of the person who used it, or it could be a fiction writer who makes up the story. Maybe it's a book where you create the images that go with the story. I see stories literally and visually in your future.
I love it.
So, Laura, we already did this, but let's do it again. Where do people find your work?
Can be found on Instagram. I am MKO_studio_artist. Facebook, I am Maura Keeley Ogden. And I have a virtual gallery, which I'm reworking. And that is mko-studio.com.
And that is where you put what we just wrote on that website, front and center.
I am so excited.
I want to say one more thing and then you get to go. Do you see how this is so much more you, so people can understand you and your work and why it matters compared to, which was not bad. It just didn't say anything to bring myself and others joy.
Yep.
It's completely different.
100 jillion percent. Really, truly.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Love you, baby.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't yet, be sure to hit subscribe so that you can get new episodes loaded straight onto your phone as soon as they're ready. And as an added bonus, when you subscribe, it helps other artists find this advice so we can learn how to make our art more valuable as a community. What could be better than that? And be sure to say hello and let me know you've been listening over on Instagram. My handle is @artistmarketco. I would love to hear from you.